All week long, the Lord speaks to our heart about messages that we preach and places that we go to share His Word. And all through the week, as we're praying and as we're studying the Scriptures, we're receiving. We're receiving from God. And when the Lord gives us the platform to be able to stand and share, He gives us this opportunity to convey. We receive and then we convey. In the world today, there's a misconception about teachers and preachers. Many say, what's blurred? They're the same. No, they're not the same. A teacher explains, a preacher proclaims. We proclaim the Word of God, and God has us to teach from time to time. And as I was looking here at the subject matter that the Holy Spirit had placed upon our heart, not only, dear friends, this week have we been receiving and desiring to convey, but this morning, dear friends, not only are we to share, but we're to share one with another. It's God's desire that we be unified in ways that brings Him glory. When the Holy Spirit laid this message upon our heart earlier in the week, He spoke to our heart about a message of encouragement. Do you need to be encouraged today? Do you need to feel that joy and that peace and that serenity in your heart that can only come from the Lord? Yes. Yes. We all need to be encouraged. Each and every one of us need to be encouraged. But in the world of decay and sin and iniquity, it's hard to find encouragement in a world that seems to be unraveling before you. But God has a desire to encourage you and to instill in your heart a joy and a peace despite all the things that's going on in the world and in your life today. Dear friends, if you would, take the Word of God and turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture from this text that is looked at by scholars and theologians around the world as the high priestly prayer. Our message is entitled today, this. Them. May seem strange, but our message today is entitled, Them. Let us look for just the next few moments at verse number 9 of John chapter 17, and then we're going to skip on over to verse number 20, the Gospel of St. John chapter 17. Here in verse 9, the Word of God says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for thine are thine. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, dear friend, when the Holy Spirit led us to this passage of Scripture, He reminded us that this event took place just hours before Jesus Christ would go to the cross at Calvary. When you look here at the Gospel of John chapter 17, one learns that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and then he would be making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I began to look at this passage very closely, and you can see there, friends, how that Jesus Christ had a desire to encourage these that was with him. Well, you see, dear friends, these disciples were very troubled. They had a lot of heaviness upon their heart. Many of us today can relate to and woes in our lives. Many of us today can relate to have trouble seeming to be at every turn. And Jesus Christ was conveying to them the message that would bring to them a joy and a peace despite all the woes and the hardship that was surrounding them in their lives. I tell you today, dear friends, the Lord has a desire to help you and to bless you and enable you to have joy and peace in your heart. My prayer is today, dear friends, that you're encouraged. You say, Brother Lynn, how can I be encouraged? Be encouraged today because the Lord loves you. He loves you. And those ragtag followers of Jesus Christ were loved. They had problems. They had worries. They had stresses. They had trial. They had tribulation. They had all the things that we face in this life. But Jesus Christ, despite what laid ahead for the Son of Man, He laid Himself to the side to pray for them and to bless them and to help them. I tell you today, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and gave Himself for you, has a desire to bring a peace and gentleness in your heart. You see, dear friends, when you look at this passage of Scripture very closely, you will find there in John 17 that this is a prayer. The most beautiful prayer in all the Scriptures. I encourage everyone to read John 17 in its entirety, because it will bless your heart. Jesus would say to them in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. What Jesus is saying to God the Father through their faith, they belong to me. I love them and they love me, and I care for them and I want the very best for them. Well, I tell you today, friends, the same Lord that prayed that prayer 2,000 years ago on the outskirts of Jerusalem is the same Lord who loves you and desires the very best in your life. And Jesus Christ conveying this to God the Father, you have given them to me through their faith. And I tell you today, friends, that warms a person's heart and knows Jesus Christ as Savior, to know without a shadow of doubt you're not your own anymore, but praise God, you belong to Him. Belong to Him. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, were these gentlemen encouraged? Oh, dear friends, at this moment, encouragement seemed to be far, far away. Encouragement and peace may seem far, far away for you at this time. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has a desire to instill in you what you need to be encouraged. Oh, dear friends, when I looked at this passage of Scripture and I looked at it very closely, the Holy Ghost, He stirred my heart. You know why? Because when I look at this Scripture, I just don't see Jesus Christ making conversation and dialogue with His disciples. Praise be to God, you were on His heart when He spoke these words. You were on His heart when He spoke these divine words. Look, if you will, at verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He said, I'm not just praying, Father, for these. I'm just not praying for these heavy-hearted followers. But listen, but for them. For them. You know something? Who is the them? We are the them. We're the them that Jesus Christ was speaking of here before He would go to the cross and the sacrificial Lamb of God. We were the them that was on His heart, on His mind, that He thrived to bring hope to us. It was God's desire to bring joy and peace to our heart through the sacrifice and the love of His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ is celebrating. He's celebrating the fact that we, that we come to know Him through faith, would be blessed by His love that He has. I thought long and hard about that. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What Jesus was saying, men, you go out into the highways and the byways of the world. You go to Jerusalem. You go to Samaria. You go to the uttermost. And when they come to faith through your word, I can tell you, I will bless them. I will help them. I will enable them to have joy in their heart. Ain't it good to know? Ain't it wonderful to know that you were on the heart of the Lord before He would go to the cross? I thought about that a lot. I did. I thought about that a lot. You say, well, Brother Lynn, why did you think about that so much? You see, dear friends, I pray for people, and I covet the prayers of people, and I thank God for the prayers of my brothers and my sisters in Christ. But I tell you what thrilled my heart and my soul was knowing that Jesus Christ prays for me. Me. Praise for me. Not just me, but praise God, you. If that don't encourage you, I don't know what will. To know that Jesus Christ, the very Prince of Peace, prays for us. Listen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. What Jesus was saying, that we that would come to know Him through our faith, He would pray for. He would not only pray, but He would be there as a support mechanism that we need, that will sustain us in the trying times of life. I say that to say this, dear friend, be encouraged today. Just know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, is making intercession for you and I at this moment. Praying for us. Praying for us. Why? Because He cares for us. Why do you pray for people? Because you care. Why do you lift up them to the Lord? Because you care. When Jesus Christ was there with his disciples just hours before his earthly death, not only, friends, did he care for them, but he shows his care for us. Not only did he pray for them, but praise God, he prayed for us. He prayed for us. I thought, sometimes I get lowly. Sometimes I'm like you, I get a little down and out. Sometimes I get just a little bit discouraged. Sometimes it feels as though the devil's pulling me here and dragging me there. Sometimes you feel as though that you're lower than a snake's bill in a wagon rut. And sometimes you have to be flat on your back before you can look up. And I thought about a man who followed Jesus, who walked with him, who talked with him, who ate with him, who laughed with him, and even cried with him, by the name of Peter. Peter got down and out. The old adversary attacked him just as he attacks us, desiring to destroy old Peter and to tear down his ministry. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter number 22, beginning there in verse number 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," that was Peter's name, "Simon, behold, Satan hath the desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You know something today, dear friends? The devil, the old adversary, Lucifer, has a desire to take you, to ravage you, to cause pain and suffering to you. He has a desire, dear friends, to sift you. I can remember years ago, my mama would make cakes and she would put flour in a sifter. She had that old metal sifter and she would squeeze that lever, and that flour would come out, and it would be separated. That's why Jesus is saying to Peter, the devil, Satan, the adversary, has a desire to separate you from me. God has a desire to bring you near, and Satan has a desire to drive you away. And Peter, he was being pulled this direction and that direction. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew hardship that Peter was going through. And he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But listen to this." He said, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What Jesus is saying, that when this prayer is answered in your life, you take heed to the will of God and minister in accordance to the Father's will. Peter, at this low point in his life, he was being prayed for. You say, "Well, Brother Lynn, I'm going through something today that I've never went through before in my life. I'm facing challenges today that I've never faced in my life. No one knows what I'm enduring. No one knows what I'm going through." I tell you today, Jesus knows, and praise God, he understands, and praise his glorious name, he's praying. Why? Because we are the them that he loves and holds dear and close to his heart. He said, "Peter, when you get that act together, you take heed, because I'm praying." He knew Peter would struggle. He knew Peter would denial. He knew Peter would fail and come short of God, the Father's glory, but he was still praying. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I fell and come short of the glory of God every day. But I glorify the Prince of Peace. And I celebrate the very fact that He prays for me. When I feel as though I'm all alone. When I feel as though all have gone far, far away. Dear friends, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ is at His nearest. You know what encourages me? Is that He's praying. Praying for the them that I'm proudly a part of. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, praise be to God, you're one of them too. When you look at the Word and you say, well, Brother Lynn, I'm very troubled. My heart is so heavy. I'm so heavy laden with the stresses of life. The temptations and the trials have taken its toll. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. Listen. The Lord gets into act. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, Paul, writing to the church there at Rome, is talking about those troubled, heavy-hearted people that is so distraught and so despondent, they don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been there? There have been times I've laid in bed at night and I've rolled and I've tumbled and I've seen 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock and just worry and toss and turn and say, Lord, I don't even know what to say. The Bible says that the Spirit brings our request to the Father. Verse 26 of Romans chapter number 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. They may be something in the far recesses of your heart that you can't even utter. But I can tell you today, the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, is praying for you. He's interceding for you, and He's blessing you as He can. Just knowing that the Holy Spirit is interacting in my life. Just knowing that Jesus Christ is praying for me brings me encouragement. It brings me joy. Not only do I covet your prayers, as we have said, not only do I rejoice in you praying for me, but I just can't say enough about Jesus praying for me. You know, you've heard that old saying, friends in high places. Dear friends, if you know Jesus, you got a friend in the highest place. Praise be to God. I thought about that a lot. Why did Jesus pray as He did? Why did Jesus convey as He did? Jesus encouraged as He did because He came to seek and to save that was lost. He came to bring joy and peace and harmony to the lives of them. Us. Paul was going to tell the church at Rome in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17. He said, though, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You see, Jesus was praying for those disciples as He's praying for us, them, to take the Word and to apply the Word and to share the Word and to exclaim the Word and to proclaim the Word and give the Word out for the glory of God. And He's praying for us to do that very thing. He said, well, Brother Lynn, I'm a long way from there. Dear friends, a lot of us are a long way from there. But the Lord is praying for us to get there. You see, there's nothing that Christ would rather see happen to you today than to be obedient for the will that He has for your life. Whether you be saint or sinner, backslidden, no matter what may befall you today, Jesus Christ has a desire for you to be all that you can be. For His honor, for His praise, and for His glory. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews would talk about the them. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him, by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. What's that saying? Where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what may befall you, despite all the woes, God is praying for you through the Son and through the Spirit. Why is that? Why is that? Not only does He love you, but He has a purpose for you. You know, you've read John chapter 10 and verse number 10, that the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you know what Jesus said? But He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. You know, at this moment in time, Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I, desiring for us to embrace and have that abundant life. You say, well, He's God. Why don't He just implement it? Well, dear friends, you know something? What separates you from nature and the wild beasts of the field is that you have discernment. You have the ability to make a choice. And Jesus Christ is praying at this very moment that you make the right choice. That you make the sound choice. That's why that He prayed as He did for Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath a desire to sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you. Praying that Peter would make the right choice. Now listen, there is nothing that Christ wants anymore than for you to be obedient to the will of God the Father. Now, He's God. He's all power. He's all controlling. He's divine in His nature. But listen, dear friends, He won't force you to do anything. You have what scholars and theologians call free will. You made a choice to come here today, and you have a choice to leave here today. Being in His will or out of His will, it's entirely up to you. But I can tell you this, on the authority of God's living, breathing, and inerrant word, He's praying for you to make that right decision. The other night, we were at this funeral home ministering with a family. When we come up to the family, you know the first words that they said to me? Thank you and the church for the prayer. The prayers meant everything to them. In this time of difficulty, in this time of hardship, the prayers made the difference. Dear friends, I tell you today, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for the them should make a difference in our lives today. Just knowing that He prayed. Just knowing that He cares should make all the difference in your life today. You see, not only today and this past week did we receive, and God bless us with the ability and opportunity to convey, but listen, dear friends, I'm receiving now. Because you see, my Jesus my Jesus, he's praying for me. Why? Because I'm worthy? Because I'm special? No, he's praying because he loves me. And he's praying for you. Us them. Because he loves us. There are a lot of times, dear friends, in my life, no doubt you too, you have felt unloved. You have felt that no one knows, no one cares. No one prays. But rest assured of this. Jesus Christ has always prayed. Jesus Christ always cares. And Jesus Christ always loves the them. Let's stand to our feet. Are you